Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Jack Watts for Jack Watts Live, broadcasting to you today, as always, from the 10th floor of the We Believe Tower in Midtown Atlanta, overlooking majestic Buckhead, where the weather has cooled appreciably. There's not a cloud in the sky, and this is a lovely time in Atlanta, Georgia, as it is in most of the Southeast. Well, we've got a lot to talk about today. This is an interesting time in American politics. I saw on the news today where President Obama was talking about how he had brought the nation out of an economic crisis and put us on firm ground, which to me was pretty incredulous, considering that the debt is at $16,940,000,000. Another $60 billion, which will happen this month, and we will have reached $17 trillion worth of debt for the first time in U.S. history. We are spending dramatically more than we are bringing in, and that can't last forever. All of you have families. You know that if you make $70,000 and you spend $110,000, you're going to come crashing down. It just doesn't work. Now, the thing that the federal government has that you don't have is the ability to print money that's worthless. So all of this shortfall is just taken up by pumping money into the economy. Now, how do you pump money into the economy? You print it and you buy stocks. So the stock market is doing really well, which would indicate a strong economy if it were individual investors or companies investing. But it's not. It's this phony money that's been printed out by Bernanke and the Fed, and now he's gone or going, and we have this woman who is going to take his place, evidently, and she believes that that's the way to a strong, substantial economy also. Now, that doesn't work. And the rest of the world is not going to tolerate it. It means in the world, everyone trades in dollars. But when we are putting our dollars out there and diluting their value, then that dilutes everything for other people, and we have a standard of living that remains higher than it should based upon what we are really producing at a growth rate of just a little bit over 1%. Any rate, that's what's happening there. It isn't working, and it's just like everything else. He's not exactly telling the truth. Okay, now, I'd like to talk a little bit about Syria and what has been going on. One of the things that is particularly interesting to me is that in international diplomacy, each nation has its own interest at heart. The number one interest of any nation is to survive. After survival is to have alliances with others to keep you protected and to enhance your economic prosperity. Those are things that all nations have in common. And when you are when you are in negotiations with others in international diplomacy, you say kind things about them. That's the way it works. If historically, if you'd say that's not friendly, well, that's a very serious thing in international diplomacy. You just try and say really nice things about other people while you're seeking your interest at theirs. Now, my brother Dick's on the line, and let me say, hey, Richard, how are you today?
I'm fine, Jack, and I really do like you.
All right, we were talking a little bit about international diplomacy and how being kind to other people in it is what you try and do. And yet we have this vivid example of Vladimir Putin not just wanting to win, but to grind Barack Obama into the ground and to make him look bad to Americans and to the people in the Middle East and everybody else. He has such personal antipathy for him, for Obama, that he just can't help himself. And, you know, when I say you say nice things about people, well, the foreign minister of Russia said about the United States that our policies in the Middle East were like a monkey with a grenade. He actually said this. The foreign minister of Russia referred to us And of course, who's he referring to? Barack Obama, a monkey with a grenade. Now, if we said that in the United States, my goodness, could you just imagine? I mean, Chris Matthews and all the rest of them that's so racist and all that. But that's exactly what he said. And those aren't the kinds of things that are normally said. I have a theory. Would you like to hear it?
Please.
Here it is. When Obama went over to the G20, and before, Obama, you know, was talking about the Russians, and he made a very strong statement about their not having homosexuals on the Olympic teams, and then he went on to say, you know, that some of the people on the balance beam and things like that, you know, would be affected without really realizing that it's the Winter Olympics that they're talking about and not the Summer Olympics. So, you know, he was just Obama shooting off his mouth. That didn't sit well with Putin. Now, when he went to the G20 meeting in St. Petersburg in the midst of this Syrian crisis, what did Obama take time to do? He took time to meet with gay and lesbian protest groups in Russia, which was a slap in Putin's face. Russia, over half the population, maybe upwards of 70% of the population, 150 million people, are Russian Orthodox. Now, Russian Orthodox are like Roman Catholics before Vatican II. Very staunch, very
religious,
very firm, in their beliefs. And, you know, they consider this to be wrong and to be aberrant behavior. And, you know, Obama doesn't like that. So here he goes into Russia, takes the moral high ground of advocating perversion in an Eastern Orthodox, well, Russian Orthodox country. That was so offensive. Now, what if Putin came to the United States? Just, here we are, you know, another gunman, or, you know, maybe two or three, you know, shot a bunch of people in, you know, in the Navy Yard in Washington today. And so
killed
here we 12. Have the, huh?
He killed 12.
Killed 12. So what if Putin showed up tomorrow and met with the NRA and, you know, said, you know, I'm Vladimir Putin, I'm a sportsman, everybody should own AK-47s. How would that sit with people in the United States? Wouldn't that look like he was trying to interfere with what's going on in our nation? Or what if he came to a pro-life group and said, you know, Planned Parenthood and all of this stuff that Obama is funding, you know, murders babies by the millions. How can you put up with that in the United States? We don't do that in Russia. Or, you know, what if he came and made a speech in San Francisco, in which he said, well, you know, all homosexuals are going to go to hell, or something like that. Those are the he has no, regardless of what he feels, he has no business getting involved in domestic issues in the United States of America, just like Barack Hussein Obama had no business getting involved with what's happening in Russia. So here we are. Obama takes the, you know, the high ground in his opinion, not mine, but in his, and thinks it's his duty to do this, because he's Barack Obama. Well, Putin is like, well, it's my duty to make you look like the fool that I think you are. And he certainly has done it concerning the Syrian situation, hasn't he?
Over and over again.
Over and over again. And, you know, here's Obama. He doesn't know what to do. You know, he wants Congress to get involved, and then he doesn't want Congress to take a vote.
He was trying to back, peppers back in, that's all.
Yeah, and, you know, this is like the worst of the worst. I don't see how people can still support him, and yet, you know, I mean, his numbers are down and going down. And I frankly think, you know, right now in the Real Clear Politics average, he's, you know, negative 7.5%. That's seven. So that puts him at like 43% approval and 50% disapprove, or close to 51 when you do the things like that. So that, you know, which is pretty low. Now, there's one of them, Reuters, that has his approval at 39 and disapproval at 55, and that's a very recent poll. So it may be more down than we even think. But here's what I would like to know, and I don't think that we'll have it, and that is if they took these polls and asked first, do you spend 30 minutes a day or more watching the news, listening to the news, being on the internet, looking at, in other words, are people knowledgeable? And then all of the ones that said yes, do a separate poll for them. Then the next question, just skew it that way to where you just say, all right, we're going to take all of those people and ask what his approvals are. And I bet it's substantially lower because they're just people that like, well, yeah, I support President of the United States. You know, he's President of the United States. I like Barack Obama. He's a cool guy, you know. I mean, gee, he's got a good singing voice. You know, I like it when he goes out there with Beyonce and all them. And, you know, that's, man, that's just cool, man. It's just like way, way, way cool. And but they don't know, yeah, but they don't know anything about anything. You know,
they
wouldn't know Syria's in the Middle East. But now, here, Obama, by not acting, has abdicated his responsibility over this thing where he said that there's a red line. Now, you know, I don't think that we should ever have, he should never have said it to begin with, and I don't think that we, I do not want to see another war in the Middle East where we have zero national interest. Syria is not a country that is in our national interest. If this were involved in Saudi Arabia, where we have to have the oil, or Iraq, where we have to have the oil, or Kuwait, or any of the principalities, you know, the Emirates or Bahrain or something like that, that's a different story. But Syria, no.
How about the fact we can't afford it?
You know, there's another thing. And by the way, of all the deaths since the war in Afghanistan started, 75% of them have come on Barack Obama's watch. So, and just one other thing, he is sending arms to the rebels in Syria now. The CIA is doing that. And so he's arming al-Qaeda. And I can't help but think that there nothing good is going to come from that, as just period. Now, in the Middle East, they're all Muslim, but not all Muslims are the same. The Syrians are Shiites. And the rebels, al-Qaeda, and the Muslim Brotherhood are Sunni. Iranians are Shiites, and they're the strongest nation in the Middle East. But the Sunnis hate the Shiites as much as they hate the Jews. The Shiites hate the Sunnis as much as they hate the Jews. Now, they don't really admit that, but that's exactly how they feel about it. So, they want to beat Syria because that would make all of the Arab nations in that area Sunni, so they can consolidate. The Shiites don't want that. The Syrians don't want, they want to have kind of a balance, and they do, and that's why Syria is so important to the Muslims. But we're not Muslims, and that's not important to us. What's important to us in the Middle East is protecting our oil and protecting Israel and maintaining our predominance as the major world power, which is now gone from the day that General George Patton went to North Africa and started beating Rommel and the Africa Corps throwing Germany out of North Africa. Along with the British, the Americans became the predominant power. And we have been that way since 1943. And now, 70 years later, that's no longer true. We've been replaced, at least substantially, by Russia. And all because Obama doesn't know what he's doing. And he's being advised, his chief advisor, national security advisor, is Susan Rice, the woman that got on all of the shows right after Benghazi and lied about, you know, the video thing. He wanted to make her Secretary of State, not Kerry, but you have to have Senate confirmation for that, and he couldn't get it. That doesn't surprise me. How about you?
No, she wouldn't have gotten it anyway. That's why he never put her in that place to even have the Congress go after her.
That's exactly right. So there we are with that. And, you know, so as her bone, he makes her national security advisor. And now we need somebody that knows what they're doing, what they're talking about, and we don't have that. Not exactly good, is it?
Yeah.
All right, let me ask you a question. Do you think that President Obama is going to get on TV and say, if I had a son, it would look like Aaron Alexis?
Did he would what?
Look like Aaron Alexis.
Oh, you mean that could have been his brother?
Well, you know how he said Trayvon could have been his son. This Aaron Alexis is the guy that, you know, that killed all those people at the Navy Yard.
Yeah.
Or, you know, I don't suspect he's going to be saying that.
He was a brother.
I mean, yeah. Oh, yeah, he's definitely a brother. And,
definitely a brother.
I mean, from what I understand, nobody yelled Allah Akbar, so maybe this wasn't some kind of Muslim thing. But
Security, while it was going on, said that it was not a terrorist attack. So they had no idea, but they came right out immediately and said it was not a terrorist attack before it was even confirmed one way or the other. I wonder where that came from.
They said that... that Colonel Hassan in Fort Hood wasn't a terrorist attack either.
Even as he was screaming Allah Akbar. Yeah.
And shooting people, yeah. And at his trial he said that it was a terrorist attack. But they came right out and said it wasn't. So it's possible that it isn't. I mean, and then maybe you're right. But
I don't think that they should have said anything as quickly as they did without really having substantiated the whole thing.
Well, you know, I don't know. Just because they say it doesn't mean it's true. We've had so many instances. I mean, it's the 16th, and we're just right after, you know, 5 days after, the one-year anniversary of Benghazi. And at this time, a year ago, they were telling us it was because of this YouTube video, and they had stormed the house of this, you know, horrible person who did this reprehensible video, and 50,
who's still in jail?
Agents, 50 SWAT agents, and here you got this little middle-aged guy who comes out with a towel over his head, and you know
just totally intimidated. I'm sure he wet himself. And,
oh,
you know,
yeah.
50 agents, I would. But because, you know, because this is what we do with somebody who disagrees with, you know, I mean, they used this guy, abused him, and threw him in jail for months without bail for no good reason, really.
Isn't he still in jail?
No, he got out finally a month ago, and he's been fairly low-key. I don't blame him on that one.
No.
I don't blame him on that one. Fairly low-key. It's very, very, and, you know, but now we've got another one, and what is the very first thing that happened? Well, you know, we need to look, we need to take people's guns away from them. I mean, that is always the clarion call. And yet, if these people, you know, if they, at the Navy Yard, since Clinton was president, they, you know, they stay locked up the guns.
Hmm.
If these people were like they were in, you know, in World War II and after for, you know, for decades, where part of your uniform was to have a pistol, these things wouldn't happen.
Right.
They wouldn't, let's put it this way. He wouldn't kill 12 people. He might kill two or three.
Yeah.
But his ability to kill 12, would, I mean, he'd be dead much quicker because,
yeah.
You know, when somebody's got an, this guy, he had an AK-15, and, you know, if he has that and you have nothing, your chances are zero.
Me.
So, at any rate, you know.
Pretty good thought of having 30 or 40 guys shooting at you, that one of them's going to hit it.
Well, we're in a, you know, it's a constant about the guns. And, you know, they're after it. And there are people, you know, who are absolutely militant about thinking that that should happen.
Let me ask you a quick question, though, Jack. Do you think Al Sharpton or the Reverend Jesse Jackson will come out and talk about how reprehensible this black man was to go in there and kill all of these people? Do you think you'll hear word one from either one of them?
No, I don't. And, you know, I think that in America, that racism has been on the decline substantially for decades.
Absolutely.
You know, I mean, you know, when we were growing up, when we were growing up, people used the N-word all the time. All the time. Routinely. And yet, you know, you don't hear jokes like that anymore and stuff like that. I mean, it just doesn't happen. But now there's just such, there's such a turmoil because it's been played against us. Like, we're bad people,
yeah. And
we need to be put down, and people who are extremists, Christians and Catholics and evangelicals, are extremists. Well, that's not true, and we're not going to put up with it, and we're not going to stand for it, and, you know, we're going to keep doing this, and we're going to keep, as long as we're alive, we're going to keep pushing against this kind of nonsense that is being spouted by Barack Hussein Obama and the progressives, and not stop. In the interim, we're going to be rooting for the Patriots and the Red Sox and the, you know, the Bulldogs and a few other things. So that's all that we have time for today.
Go Notre Dame.
Thank you. Yeah, go Notre Dame. Go Notre Dame. I agree. And God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Good night.